What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
1 o'clock hour here from St. Joe. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Drew Nixon producing the show back in KC. This is our final show out of the studio for camp, and we're back in studio for a couple days. Next Wednesday, we're in the studio. Then we head out to Las Vegas for our circus sports.
Have you looked at the weather? I have not.
I haven't looked. I don't care what the weather is. I don't care. I don't care. We're going to be inside a majority of the time. We'll also then be out at the pool. I can't wait. Circuit contest weekend. I sent an email out. I think we've got multiple people on board to do an entry as a show/station this year for Circuit Millions. I'm excited. Dusty's in. I think you're in. I'm in. I think our boss, Speck, is in. Get a few more people to split this thing up and
do an entry.
Do a Circa Millions, man. While we're out there, we'll sign up. Obviously, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. If you're going to sign up for a contest, that's the weekend to do it while they've got a bunch of happy hour stuff going on. But you have until September 3rd to sign up for the Circa Survivor Circa Millions contest out there in Vegas. You can enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. If you're someone that's going to be betting every NFL weekend anyway, I don't know how much you're betting, but if you're going to do that, you're getting 5 picks a week by entering the contest. You might as well have a chance to win some big-time money, and obviously they got the quarterly contest as well. And even if you stink, they also have a booby prize too, Cody. If you're just the worst, which is harder to do than you think, but if you are literally the worst at picking games, you can win money as well.
You know, I'm sure, and there's going to be a lot of people making that same joke. Well, my account would certainly suggest I am.
Well, what happens is somebody starts like the first 2 weeks, and somebody out there
starts
the first
1-9,
0-10,
0-10.
Yeah, 1-9, 0-10, and they're like, "Well, do we try to just?"
I feel like I can't cave that early.
Well,
I'm
you just also
be accidentally bad for a while.
Yeah, there's quarterly prizes. You could have a bad first week and still find a way to place. There's multiple areas to make some money. So we're excited to head out to Vegas. Circa, they're a great contest they do. It's the world's largest sports book. Cannot wait to head out there. But I saw somebody yesterday continue to get traction based off of him calling out Kansas City. So I said, "Oh, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about this. You guys are probably." Not all of you, but a lot of you know who Zach Bryan is, maybe. He's a country artist. Admittedly, he's got a couple songs that I really do like. But he was attacking Chiefs fans on social media the other day. So he now has pledged to never perform in Kansas City. He was beefing back and forth with a Chiefs fan who ended up actually tweeting at me last night. He's like, "Hey, I'll come on the show and talk about this." I was like, "I think I got enough of the details, though." But Jordan Carter on Twitter responded to Zach Bryan's tweet where he said, "Where are all the three-peat people from last year?" Taking a shot about,
that's
of course, the
weakest
Chiefs failed
attempt to dunk on somebody.
That's right. They won two.
But they were two Super Bowl winners,
right,
before they lost in the Super Bowl.
So the Chiefs fan, who I guess is a listener of the show as well, said, "Talking bleep in general is all good. He singled out one fan base, that same fan base that sells out his show." Zach Bryan commented back, said, "Please understand, I will never play in Kansas City." To which people reminded him quickly, next year, Cody, he has a show in Bonner Springs. That's Kansas City, pal. You still have a show in Kansas City.
Is he going to cancel it?
No.
Otherwise,
I
bet you toothless.
He's not. I bet he's not.
Then it's toothless.
I bet he's not.
I don't know. Why do
the fan then told Zach Bryan to remove 5th of May, live from Kansas City, from his digital-only album. Done, brother, Zach Bryan responded.
Is
As of Sunday morning, the track, of course, is still on his streaming services. Wow. This guy's a clown. Zach Bryan. Country artist.
I think Dustin really likes him, too.
No, he's got a couple really good songs. That's what sucks. I didn't realize this guy was such a clown and hated Kansas City. That's unfortunate, because if you go and look at his like two top songs on Spotify, you've heard him, Cody. I know you're not a big country guy. You've heard him, and I think you have. And Drew, I don't know if we can play a snippet of...
I know very little Zach Bryan.
Which one do you want
me to play?
If you just go to YouTube and go top 10 and play any of his top 10, I bet you Cody's heard them.
So he's an Eagles fan? Is that what's going on?
I think he's a Broncos fan.
It says who is a known Philadelphia Eagles,
Eagles fan. He was in Denver. Sorry, that's what happened, yeah.
Okay, I mean, so...
Drew, I Remember Everything is a popular one if you want to pull that. I Remember Everything.
Okay, all right, I'll pull
it's
that
It's him and Casey Musgraves. Anyway, good, great artist. Just seems like kind of a... back, honestly, calling out Kansas City. Says he won't perform here. You got a show in Kansas City next spring.
If he shows up, then he's a coward. He's a coward.
Well, then
he
already said he was going to remove it from his digital track, and he didn't.
Maybe he's getting around to it, you know? A lot of stuff to step in there, you know? Got to call Spotify, get your agent on the phone.
Yeah.
Has he ever gotten in trouble for anything else, or is it just
I don't know a ton about him. I know, again, he's got a couple songs I really like, and then I was like, oh, no. Because then I cross-checked. I'm like, who is this guy? I'm like, wait, he sings this? I'm like, no, because I actually like the song. But he's going to call out Kansas City, man.
All right, I got some of it. You want to hear it?
Yeah. Let me hear it.
I have not heard this song before.
It's one of his popular songs right now. Wow, we just got buzzed by a...
I can hear it.
C-130 again. My goodness.
You know, he's a... It doesn't seem like he's a pop... I don't want to say pop country. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but he doesn't have a...
New country.
Don't you think...
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a pop country, new country sort of feel
I guess. Don't you think the text line's correct that everybody, if he has his show still and you're some reason still paying money to go see him, everybody should be wearing Chiefs jerseys?
Yes!
I mean, it would be great.
That would be very funny. But also, it's just like, if he's going to trash the city you live in, it's like, part of me wants to like have a little civic pride.
I know. Like, it stinks because I actually like his music.
Well, too late now. Somebody else I see, like...
Someone says, don't play his bleep on air, giving him everything he wants. He was recently in the news for being in the... Oh, I'm like, I don't know that to be confirmed. I don't want to start saying some of that, but okay. All right.
Before you're... Come on, man. We're not trying to get slandered.
There was a lot of traction There was a lot of traction regarding that text. I don't remember exactly when, but when it came out, there was a lot of traction.
If you Google him and Barstool, there was some stuff, but yeah, man.
Oh, he faces some accusations of... hurling a slur in a bar incident earlier this year. I don't have to like this guy. If he's just going to say awful stuff, yeah. And again, it's an accusation, so it's on camera.
He hates Kansas City. Why should you support somebody that hates Kansas City?
All because of a football game, man? Like, I know you dislike... the Broncos. You're not like just, I hope Denver burns to the ground.
No,
like, right. You know, like... It's okay to hate.
I'm also
hell,
not.
You
I'm
hate
also,
the Raiders, and we'll be in Vegas next week.
But I'm also not a country star that has fans all over the globe.
Some other country star, in the other articles when I was Googling him, it just said, like, some other country stars, like, if you can't handle the criticism of a 14-year-old, why the hell do people even idolize you? He's just a thin-skinned baby.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just, poor guy, his feelings hurt. And, like, I understand we only get it on a local level. What do you think? I don't get things over on the text line. Calling me mean things constantly. We've had slurs over there, hateful stuff over there. Like, that stuff happens.
Yeah,
that's just like part of being a public-facing personality. What are you offended because they won back-to-back Super Bowls and you want to – you can flex because your team won. But, like, one guy responding and then you say, I'll never play Kansas City again. You better mean it. I'll say that. You're going to say stuff like that and be a big country star. You better mean it. Don't show up to Kansas City.
He went on to say, bro, all you have to do to – tick off a Chiefs fan is play a fair game of football.
Oh, so now he's... Oh, now the game's rigged?
Uh-huh, yes.
Oh, boy. Ugh. That's just crazy. lame. Some said they never heard of this artist before. I've heard of it.
He since tweeted, "I miss you, Bonner Springs, coming to play next year." He tweeted that it's a 30-minute drive from. It's still part of Kansas City.
Is he trying to claim that isn't
that's
Kansas
what he's
City?
Trying to pl- that's what he's trying to claim.
That's on my neck of the woods.
That is part of Kansas City, pal.
Okay.
Part of Kansas City.
Hey.
That's crazy.
Not really doing proper.
No, guys. Yeah. If you travel, probably literally, maybe.
Oh, I know you're right by.
If you travel maybe 3 minutes north of Sandstone, guess where you hit? You all of a sudden are in Kansas City, Kansas.
If you're performing in Bonner Springs, you're performing in Kansas City. If you're a touring national act,
you could walk to Kansas City.
With all due respect to Bonner Springs, why do you think he's going to Bonner Springs? Because he's bringing in the Kansas City audience.
Kind of embarrassing for him. He's not even getting stadium tour stuff, huh? Yeah, this guy still got to go play out. Can't even get the stadium tour, huh? All right, gonna be a little harder to fill out Sandstone. Next thing you know, it'll be one thing down.
Text line's confusing Drew with JT, who filled in. Someone says Drew doesn't know who the Eagles are. No, that was JT. JT filled in for Drew 2 weeks ago, and he's 25 years old, I think, and he didn't know who the band the Eagles were or are.
Really?
That's different. And that's not true. That's not true.
That's tough for JT. I do know who
it
the Eagles
are. It was a pretty tough day, man. And then he didn't know who JTT was, and I bet you don't know who that is either.
Hey, hang on. Say that again. Who
JTT? Do you know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas is?
No.
Just an age thing. He was like a child star when I was a kid. Alex remembers Jonathan Taylor Thomas. He'd have been on the cover of a lot of teen magazines.
Wait, was he?
He's the main star of Home Improvement.
Oh, if you were to show me a picture of Home Improvement, I know I watched Home Improvement. My parents loved that show when I was growing up.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas was the star of that show. Besides Tim Allen,
I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
He's the main kid.
I would not have been able to tell you that.
Just got to work you through one way or another. Since we're already getting mad, let me play you some audio. This was Bill Simmons on his podcast talking about why Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes.
Hang on, bear with me, bear with me.
Drew sabotaged the clip.
Here it is.
He's
now.
Too busy playing some other Zach Bryan.
He's a big fan now.
I am absolutely not. Here he is.
I did not have Patrick Mahomes at the top of the pyramid. When it came right down to it, I just think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. Game by game, regular season, durability. He can make chicken salad out of chicken. From what we saw from Mahomes last year, which I want to go into in a second, I just don't think it's fair to put him over Josh Allen, especially because Mahomes didn't win the Super Bowl last year. So when you saw that, what was your reaction?
My first reaction was I thought this goes against everything I thought I knew about you in terms of, honestly, from having, read you, listened to you, working with you, talked to you. I thought you had sort of a life principle that when one guy has the belt, somebody's got to come take the belt. If it is that close, and Patrick Mahomes has been to 5 Super Bowls, won 3, has played Josh Allen 4 times in the playoffs and beat him every time. I hear what you're saying. Those aren't Josh Allen's fault. I totally agree with that. But still, somebody wins, somebody loses. That's sports. I feel like Allen needs to either beat Mahomes and get to a Super Bowl or just win a Super Bowl to actually get the belt.
I guess my question is it possible that he might have peaked a couple years ago as like Apex Mahomes? I'm talking through it. I'm not trying to be reactionary guy. I just don't think he was as good last year as he was in that 22 season and some of those other years. I didn't see it. I thought they kind of lucked out. They were 11-1 in one score games, and some of them were really stupid wins. And I'm going to say this to Patrick Mahomes. Prove to me I'm a shithead. Go take your belt back.
Still here. We are still here.
I know you are, yes.
Just pot it down, my man. There we go.
No, it is. It is. I don't know what happened. I do not know what happened.
Bobby Wood Jr. wanted to chime in.
I guess
All right. We're back.
The Bill Simmons clip, though, that you guys just heard prior to that. The belt thing is weird because I do think someone in the AFC has to win a Super Bowl before you can even have a case for someone taking the belt from Patrick Mahomes. I think we've all acknowledged last year was not his best season statistically. It's pretty obvious it wasn't. He was checking down a lot. I think if you pay attention, we all know there's a ton of factors that went into it. Some of it was Mahomes himself. Some of it, a lot of it, was the offensive line play on the left side. Some of it, a lot of it, was his wide receiver situation with Hollywood Brown being hurt and Rice being hurt for majority, if not all, of the season. This idea, though, that Josh Allen, who I still think is the second-best quarterback in the league, has taken the belt from him. How is that even possible? He's The obvious thing is he's 0-4 head-to-head in the postseason when it matters most. The other part is Josh Allen has not made it to a Super Bowl and won a ring yet on top of that. So how can you take something from somebody that has been able to dominate you in the biggest spots and you don't have anywhere near the hardware or a piece of hardware other than an MVP trophy?
Please do not talk about regular season wins if you're going to discount postseason wins for starters.
Yeah.
Can I point out one of the obvious things that I don't think is mentioned as a part of this? That you and we can all take this public perception of Patrick Mahomes, man, he's just not the same Patrick Mahomes, and that other than one stat, the numbers between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen were not that different. I'm not saying that the Josh Allens weren't better. Can I tell you some numbers and you tell me that, like, wow, these are so much different. Josh Allen, last season, threw for 3,700 yards. Patrick Mahomes threw for 3,900. All right, so he threw for more yardage. Patrick Mahomes threw 26 passing touchdowns to 11 interceptions. Josh Allen had 28-6. Those, again, are not dramatically different numbers. The rushing yardage totals, you're going to say, well, I know there's a pretty big advantage there for Josh Allen in the rushing yardage total. He had 531. Patrick Mahomes had almost 400. So total yardage-wise, Patrick Mahomes actually has him. The only statistical category in which there is a dramatic difference between the two last year's rushing touchdowns, and that is largely based on the fact that Josh Allen runs him in from the one-yard line. We're making an entire false argument on the idea that Josh Allen just ran in the end zone more in a singular year. That's it? I like, Joe Burrow's numbers are further apart from Patrick Mahomes than Josh Allen's last year. Like, it's kind of crazy to me that we look at Josh Allen's year last year and we're like, oh, man, he's taking the belt from Patrick Mahomes because of what statistical anomaly? Because Patrick Mahomes only had a couple rushing touchdowns and Josh Allen had 10, 12, whatever the hell the number is. Patrick Mahomes doesn't QB sneak or maybe has 5 or 6. It's not a statistical difference. It's not a substantial statistical difference. It might be 3% last year. And so, like, I think it's kind of crazy. I just feel like there's a need to defend him because everybody thinks or feels like he should have been in a Super Bowl and won one by now. But because Patrick Mahomes held him down, they feel the need to defend his play. And to defend the play, but they don't defend Lamar Jackson's that way. I don't feel like they defend Joe Burrow's that way. I think it is because what you mentioned earlier. I think it's because Josh Allen's just more likable as a dude.
Yeah, very
likable. I don't think there's anything. I think it's just, and I think Lamar's really likable too. But he's quiet, and I don't think it's like. I genuinely don't think there's anything other than they just kind of like him. Because there's no other defense for, like, let's put him at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, someone said you guys are missing the fact that Bill Simmons said regular season. He never mentioned playoffs. But that's our point. It's like you don't judge who's the best quarterback in football by what they only do in the regular season.
The regular seasons weren't even that different last year.
The regular season numbers in particular, if the only – who's the better regular season quarterback? I'll be honest, I don't really give a damn anyway.
Oh, I don't either. But even if we're factoring that in, I just pointed out, over the last two regular seasons, they are not as different as you think. Like, you're in your head, like, conflating a number that you're like, oh, it must be significantly different between the two. And you're like, it's not, other than rushing touchdowns. That is the only category in which Josh Allen holds superiority year over year over Patrick Mahomes. There is no other statistical category in which that is regularly the case. Other than that, over the last 2 years, Patrick Mahomes has 8,100 yards and 53 passing touchdowns, and Josh Allen has 8,600 yards and, oh, it's not showing the passing touchdowns for whatever reason. I can guarantee you a similar number of passing touchdowns. And so it's like, they're not even that dramatically different over the last 2 years statistically. So we're just pretending like there's some stat or measure that doesn't exist outside of that. And then the postseason, which is what we've largely agreed as a society, is what separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks. He has less passing touchdowns the last couple of years and one less interception, Josh Allen. They're the same. The same quarterback. He has like 300 more rushing yards and like 100 more passing yards over the last 2 years. Same number of touchdowns, same number of interceptions. Rushing touchdowns is literally the only statistical category in which every year Josh Allen is better. And we talk nationally. They talk about it like these are two quarterbacks doing different things with their careers right now statistically. Like Mahomes is being held back. Mahomes has been doing it with no wide receivers and no offensive line. Josh Allen's been doing it with limited wide receivers, admittedly, and one of the better offensive lines. So, okay. It doesn't mean, and then the playoffs separate the two. In the regular season, they put up similar stats. The postseason is what separates him. He's 0-4. Patrick Mahomes has won 2 of the last 3 Super Bowls, 3 of the last 6, or whatever it is. And yeah. So it's like, I don't understand the defense of him. I think must just be because he's a nice guy.
Yeah, look, I think Josh Allen, it'll be interesting in the next year or so, though, if at some point people will flip even more. If you're saying that Josh Allen doesn't get criticized enough for losing to Mahomes, I guess that's a fair point to make. At some point, people are going to say, all right, you haven't done it, and more people are going to continue to be critical. But what he is saying about Josh Allen and Mahomes, I disagree with, but it also doesn't – I know, Drew, you're waiting to chime in. Like, it doesn't also mean that Joe Burrow has done anything more than Josh Allen. Joe Burrow hasn't been in the playoffs for 3 years. So, like, to me, it applies to all three of them. And, yeah, Josh Allen has been to more AFC title games, I believe, and he's been able to come across as a much more likable guy. So that's just the reality of how this works from the national conversation. I'm not saying from a football angle, but from the national conversation, if you're wondering why do people view him differently, I think some of it is, yeah, people like certain quarterbacks better.
I also think there are Lamar and Joe Burrow apologists just the same, and they've all accomplished what I think is to be a pretty much equal amount in the NFL. They've got 3 MVPs between them. Joe Burrow doesn't have those, but he's been to the Super Bowl, which Lamar Jackson, and he didn't win it, but he's been to a Super Bowl, which Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen haven't done. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have won more divisions, have won more MVPs. They're like equally accomplished people, in my opinion. I do think they apologize for Josh Allen the most, but I think there are Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson apologists, too, that want to put them in the range of Mahomes and then just ignore, like, the playoffs are a thing that don't exist.
Josh Allen
it's
also.
Weird for Simmons 'cause Tom Brady.
But. Yeah, and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson also have been in the league longer than Joe Burrow has. So I think.
By a year or what?
Josh Allen's been in there 2 more years than Joe Burrow has. Josh Allen has been to 2 AFC title games. Joe Burrow's been to 2 AFC title games.
Okay. I mean.
But I think I know.
If he gets to 1, I'll give him credit. I think he's still got to do it in the next 2 years.
I think I know what the comp is, how people are looking at this list now. I think people are more forgiving of Josh Allen and people like him more. And because the narrative last year, I think it was specifically Mike Greenberg last year, was really talking about how much Josh Allen had to do to make his team better. And taking Mahomes out of it, because we know how much Patrick Mahomes elevates his team. They're not looking at what Patrick Mahomes has to do because they're comparing Patrick Mahomes to the 5,000-yard Patrick Mahomes. They're comparing Josh Allen to them having the same record and them still making the playoffs amidst not having Stephon Diggs, and all of a sudden it's, look at what Josh Allen has to do. You know, he has to do so much, and Joe Burrow gets the flack because, well, he's got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. That's not Joe Burrow's fault. It's just that's the way the cards laid. So I think that's why people have more sympathy for Josh Allen, even so much to have him over Mahomes, because they look at him not having any weapons. He's never had Tyreek Hill. He's never had Travis Kelce. But look at what Josh Allen can do and how good his team is. Even though the division is easier than both the AFC West and the AFC North, people aren't looking at that. I think they're looking at the weapons and what they've had over the course of their careers.
Sure.
And that's why people are saying Josh Allen is better than Mahomes or Burrow or even Lamar Jackson to an extent. As well, I think that's the angle that they're looking at for this.
Yeah, and I would agree with some of what you had to say about the weapon comparison. I think some of that's fair, but then we get into defense, right? We get into the also, to your point, the Buffalo Bills defense also has been way better. But I also think we're forgetting last year. You're saying the narrative last year about Josh Allen. You and I both know most of last season there was a lot of poor Joe Burrow, his defense is so bad, oh my God. Act like people weren't showing sympathy to him. Everybody's saying Joe Burrow's putting up insane numbers, but this poor guy has a terrible defense. Can you believe how bad his defense is having to do everything? I'm not even saying it's wrong that he had to do everything, but like this idea that nobody was acknowledging how bad his defense was and saying poor Joe Burrow would just be revisionist history.
I think that to that point, I would say why did they think Josh Allen was so deserving of the MVP? Because his team was better, even though he wasn't as good.
MVP is
from a statistical. I understand that, but I mean,
he made the playoffs. I mean, that's a big. I mean, if you want to know the truth, a lot of it is at some point, you know, the excuse making can't be there. Like this year, if the Bengals miss the playoffs,
I'm not even saying
because
that Joe Burrow
of the defense again.
I'm not even saying
it cannot just be poor Joe Burrow. At some point,
Lamar Jackson was better than Josh Allen in every single statistical category last year, outside of I think one or two things.
We, we all did the show together. I remember we all said that Lamar Jackson should have been the MVP of the league. I don't dispute that.
Yep,
I'm just saying the woe is me thing about Joe Burrow. Everybody was sympathetic and gave him plenty of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm just saying if he misses the postseason again, even more reason why though you cannot make a case above Josh Allen. At some point you do have to overcome things, man. Like we can't be sitting here when Joe Burrow's 30 and say he's missed the playoffs for 5 straight years. Can you believe how bad everybody else is? At some point, well then request a trade if it's everybody else's fault.
I mean, I guess that's what it takes. Like if Joe Burrow makes another AFC title game and he beats Josh Allen during the regular season
and he wins the Super Bowl, then he's the number 2 quarterback. It's not even close.
Hold on a second. If he beats Josh Allen again, which he's done his whole career, and he makes an AFC title game. And Josh Allen
loses to the Chiefs?
Yes, but let's say Josh Allen doesn't even make it there again. You're still not going to so you're saying Gold, for him to Joe Burrow has to win a Super Bowl for him to get to number 2?
No.
He has to beat Patrick Mahomes in an AFC title game within the last 3 or 4. It'll be 4 years by the time we get to January.
Even though he's beat Josh Allen every single time he's played and Josh Allen has never made it and never won an AFC title.
These two teams play each other and
evidently, Joe Burrow just has to do more. I think it just seems to be if Joe Burrow doesn't win, let's say he makes it to the Super Bowl and doesn't win it again, are we still putting Josh Allen at 2 if he loses to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs?
I'll be honest, I think we're kind of splitting hairs. I don't think that there's a real big difference between Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson.
But if Burrow makes a Super Bowl again, and Josh Allen didn't,
he would probably be the second best quarterback.
I mean.
Sure.
It just feels like he has to do more to get, not even for people to feel bad, because I know that a lot of people felt bad, but for
when you haven't played in the postseason in 3 years, people are going to feel like you need to do much.
If he'd been in the postseason just the last 3 years, I don't even think anybody would argue with you, Drew.
You're saying that if they made the playoffs, then Joe Burrow would be number 2 on your list, hands down, if they made the playoffs last 2 years.
If he made the playoffs each of the last 3 years that he has missed them, I think everyone would almost universally agree he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. But because his team doesn't succeed ever, or very rarely in those cases, I think that hurts him, yeah.
That doesn't make you a better quarterback, though, I don't think, does it?
It's not the end-all, be-all, but we're having a conversation about everything that goes into it. Everything that goes into it. All right, we're late for a break. Up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll talk a little bit more about the Royals and another big one tonight.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nationals.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, we continue broadcasting live in St. Joe. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. There was no Hollywood Brown out here today, still with that ankle injury. There was no Ethan Driscoll. Jalen Watson is in concussion protocol, but he was standing on the sideline here on the practice field. Jake Brenningstuhl still also out. He's been out, really, and probably will continue to be out. He feels like either a cut guy or an IR stash for the entire season. Elsewhere, practice today, as we talked with Nate Taylor, basically Jalen Moore was getting some first-team right tackle reps. I still don't think there's a real battle there, but it's something to keep an eye on as we continue through the preseason game on Saturday night or Friday night.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals get game two of their series against the Nationals tonight after getting the first and important game against them last night. Falter only went about four innings, allowed two earned runs, but did settle in. Obviously, the pitch count got a little bit out of control for him. Bullpen picked him up. Estevez gets his 30th save of the season. It'll be Michael Wacha versus Parker tonight. Wacha with a 6-9 record, 3.36 ERA. Royals just one game below 500. You can hear that right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
A little injury news in the NFL today. Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst said Jordan Love is undergoing a procedure on his left thumb. Ligament issue is what they're saying. That's why it was taped up yesterday at practice. They do hope and believe he will return to practice next week, therefore be ready for week one of the season. But yeah, you never like seeing that. It sounds like it's very minor, but you never like that for Jordan Love, who has a chance and in a very difficult division. Can this be the year where the Packers jump above everybody? The Lions maybe take a slight step back. The Bears, do they improve? Do the Vikings take a big step back with McCarthy? That then you just kind of have the Packers. I feel like they're that team that's lurking that could all of a sudden end up being one of the best teams in the NFC and a top five NFL team, but also they've been in this middle range for a while.
Next up on What's Trending, Major League Baseball dropped its plan to start the World Series early if both league championship series are short, announcing that it will just start on October 24th. Last year, obviously, they could have moved up the series 2, 3, 4, 5 days because those series went short, but instead stuck to the original timeline. I kind of wish they'd do that, man. I don't know why the NBA doesn't do that. I understand, like, for fans and tickets and travel and all this stuff, gold and people and working, but sometimes when these league series will go, like, 4-4, and then we just got to wait around for a week for them to start. It seems kind of stupid when there's only two teams to go. But Major League Baseball will start the World Series on October 24th, regardless of what happens in the championship series.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, joined us. We got his perspective on some of the injuries, timeline for Cags. But we did start asking about the urgency that exists right now for the ball club.
Well, there's urgency in the sense that there's just over 40 games left in the season, so you got to make a move at some point. But at the same time, if we're thinking about what our record is on September 15th and here we are on August 12th, you know, we're probably making a mistake. We got to go night to night, and tonight's the most important game of the season, and tomorrow afternoon will be the most important game of the season, and that's the way we've got to play it out the rest of the year. But you just got to take every day in stride and do the best we can and try to put ourselves in a position to somehow get into this wild card spot.
JJ, you mentioned like the mistake stuff. What would you say is the cause between this year, what seems to be a sloppier baseball team, right? Base running errors or mental mistakes or things I don't feel like we're as accustomed to from the team last year, where it felt like those things were more buttoned up. Because I think about the four games you guys apart in a wild card game, and I feel like I can find those games for you guys and some of those games where, like, the mistakes that don't have to happen. Not, like, you strike out, but just, like, a mental mistake.
Well, there's no doubt that we've made a lot of mistakes that have really hurt our chances to win a ball game. And, you know, it's no secret our offense has struggled this year. I mean, we've been talking about it all season. And, you know, when you're not necessarily clicking on all cylinders on offense, you better play good defense. You better run the bases well. You got to do all the other things right. Fortunately, our pitching has given us the opportunity to even talk about the playoffs right now. But we do believe the bats will come around. But whether the bats come around or not, or the pitching sustains what it's doing, we cannot make some of the mistakes that we've made over the last, magnified here the last 10 games or so, because it's, really is damaging your chances to win a game. And, you know, we've talked about it with the coaches. And how do you explain it? You know, I know our processes are no different, and I'd say even better than they were last year. Our results haven't been as good. So why is that? And I think what's happening is because there's been some expectations this year, as a team that went through one season in the playoffs, you start putting more pressure on yourself and you're trying to force things. We don't need to force things. We need to play smart baseball. So whether it's a miscue in the field or a missed opportunity on the base paths, you know, we have to eliminate those mistakes, because sound baseball is something that we take a lot of pride in throughout our organization, from the minor leagues on up to the major leagues. And we haven't been as sound this year as we were last year, hence our record. And that's just the way the game works. We can have all the data and information and all the great game planning that goes on, but if you don't play good baseball, you're not going to win. That's the bottom line. It's the major leagues, and you can't make multiple mistakes in a game, because it's going to cost you. The other team is a talented team as well.
How do you fix it mid-year, I guess, if that makes sense? Like, if it's been something that's plagued you, is there a coaching element? Like, how do you guys go about, like, trying not to put too much pressure on them, obviously, to do that? But, like, how do you hope that those problems get resolved?
Well, they are major league players, and there's a way you have to handle every person, and every guy's a little bit different. You know, some guys you can address it right there in the moment, and other guys you might have to go to them the next day. But it certainly needs to be addressed, has been addressed. You want guys to learn. And there are some young players on our team, first time up in the major leagues, that, you know, they're making some mistakes they didn't make in high school or college. But when you're in the major leagues and the stakes are high, you know, you may try to force things too much. And then it's just a reminder, hey, it's the same game. You know, it's all relative, whether you're in A ball or the big leagues. It's all relative in the sense that the talent level in A ball was the talent level in A ball. The major leagues, that's the major league talent. But the game is the same. Keeping the double play in order, taking an extra base when you have the opportunity to, playing smart baseball when the scoreboard tells you, you know, you need to play smart baseball. There's not a need to be aggressive. They're all discussions that happen every single day with our coaches and our players, and we just got to keep pushing it and pushing it, because it has to get better.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. I want to go back to Sunday and I guess really even yesterday with Bobby Witt Jr. He was back in the lineup. Is it just a back tightness thing that you think he's going to have to deal with the rest of the way? It's just one of those things. Eventually it's going to require some time off. Or where are you guys at with Bobby Witt Jr., who, of course, last night was back out there making a great play in the field?
Yeah, it was great to see him. I thought he made two really good plays that would have tested his back, and he felt great after the game, so that's a good sign. You know, we've got to keep in mind, this guy plays every game, you know, and he plays it with a different set of skills, which, you know, his body is going to be taxed more than most guys night to night. So I think it's normal that guys are going to go through some soreness. We don't think it's serious in nature, I can tell you that, or he wouldn't have played last night. But after he warmed up yesterday and went through pregame, he said he was much better and ready to play tonight, and we're hopeful that that's how he feels today. But we just have to keep an eye on it, because clearly we need Bobby on the field, and we would not put him in a position to jeopardize a longer term or an IL stint. We would not do that. We'd rather give him the day here and there to try to get him through the season. And like most guys, you know, rest and recovery after the season is the best time to get things healed up. You know, we just have, you know, I think it's 43 games starting tonight. 43 games he's got to get through, and hopefully another handful in October. You know, but he's a pro. He'll help us with it and communicate with us.
While we're talking about health, Hunter Harvey, unfortunately, back on the IL. It feels like he just can't catch a break, you know, since he was acquired by you guys.
Yeah, I feel terrible for him, because he's throwing the ball so well. He did it the first 10 days or so of the season, didn't give up a run. He comes back, and he's throwing the ball exceptionally well. He was throwing the ball well in the minor leagues. We actually cut his rehab short about a week because he was feeling so good. Hard to explain. You know, he pitched a great inning. Then Saturday, he comes in. He says, my groin's a little tight today. He didn't go to bed with soreness, but he woke up with soreness. Maybe that's a little bit of adrenaline, you know, because he's out there and he's competing and he doesn't feel anything. But the next day it was sore, and then yesterday was not only more sore to him, but visibly sore to our training staff, and we knew we had to put him on the IL. But hopefully we got ahead of it, in the sense that it's not anything really serious, and, you know, hope to get him back here by, you know, say early September.
You guys have added obviously a couple more pitchers. What do you guys make of your early returns on Falter and Burgert? You've gotten two starts now out of each. How have you felt about it?
Well, Falter, I thought, was better last night. He ran a high pitch count. Obviously, his first game in Boston, you know, wasn't indicative of who he is. And I don't even think last night was. But, you know, he made a couple changes to some pitches yesterday, and he got a really high number, his highest number on the year as far as percentage of swings and misses. Because we you know, Brian Sweeney and pitching staff made a couple quick changes with him. He bought right into it, and he had some success. But really, it was more about being in the strike zone and not having that pitch count run up the way it did. That was a situation where you like to try to get a fifth out of him. But where we were in the order, we felt like it was the right time to not go at the top of the lineup a third time through. But it was much better. This start was much better, and we know that he'll settle in. And Burgert, I mean, what can you say? He's been outstanding. I mean, two really, really competitive games for us. I thought what was impressive in Minnesota is he gives up a two-run homer, a nine-hole hitter. That's an easy spot to get distracted as a pitcher. You know, it was the eight-hole hitter gets on, then a home run. You could easily, like, lose focus right there, and he didn't. And he stayed in the game. He competed, gave us, you know, five-plus innings, and you couldn't ask anything more out of a starting pitcher. And then when you think about this is his rookie year, it's even more impressive.
When you look at the rest of the injury stuff, Jack Caglione, I know the reporting is that he's going to start a rehab assignment maybe as early as tonight, I guess, down there in Omaha. How long are you guys looking in Omaha? What are you guys thinking on the rehab stuff? Is it a week? And if he still feels fine, 2 weeks? Just kind of what's the timeline on it?
Yeah, timeline's hard to tell because we don't know how he's going to react. So it's hard to say he's going to be back by this date or that date. I think the big thing is he is playing tonight. He's starting that rehab tonight. I believe he's not scheduled to play tomorrow, and then he'll, from that point on, I think Thursday on, he'll be in the lineup every day, assuming, you know, everything's feeling good. You know, if he has any soreness, then we have to back off. So that's his timeline's dictated more by how he feels, but I do think it's a great time for him to just kind of reset, take some good at-bats, gain some confidence, and put himself in a position to be called back to the big club, whether it's prior to September 1st or post September 1, you know, we're just going to see how things are going from his health and also from a timing and rhythm standpoint in the batter's box.
Baseball sorts itself out usually, whether it's injuries, whether it's performance, but whenever that rehab assignment is over and he's good to come back to the big league club, do you envision him being an everyday player again for you guys?
Well, certainly. I mean, whether it's 2025, we know.
Oh, this year, sure.
We know
sure.
in the future, Yeah. I mean, the makeup of the club's changed. You know, we have a couple different players since he got injured with Grichuk and Yaz, and those guys are veterans, and they're going to be on the field. But there's plenty of ways to get Cags or anybody else. Michael Massey's going to be coming back. There's plenty of ways to get them all in the lineup. You know, with Cags, he can play first, he can DH, he can play right. We have flexibility with all of our outfielders can go over to left field. We'd be a little hesitant to put Cags in left just because he hasn't played there at all. But Massey can play left. He can play second. There's going to be ways to get guys in the lineup. But look, these games mean a lot. Performance is going to be a big dictator of who's in our lineup night to night. This isn't the minor leagues. We're trying to develop guys right now. We're down the home stretch. We've got to win a lot of freaking games. And that's how this thing's got to go. So based on how guys are playing is going to dictate who's in our lineup night to night.
What would you say, like, JJ, this is mostly like a fan sentiment. I don't know that this is, but like the idea that people, like, I think this was a complaint of Q, and so then maybe people take it into the player stuff, this like idea that this team isn't full, like has that killer instinct, the way people talk about 14 and 15. Do you, I mean, I'm guessing you would refute that, but what do you think about the, what is your sense of the team and that instinct and the idea that like the competitive drive is high enough to like keep pushing this year?
Well, I think the drive is there. I mean, I'm in the clubhouse just about every day, and I can tell you those guys are giving a lot of effort, and they care about what's going on. You know, it's easy to point to World Series teams and say they had this great drive. Yeah, because October was great. But, you know, there were some lulls in 14 and 15 and that we tend to forget because October was so special. We just got to get to October with this club and take care of our business every day. And that October magic, it happens in October. It doesn't happen in October or in August or September. It happens in October. So the point is we got to get there. We were a wild card team in 14 and just got hot as anything, you know, going through the month of October. But the point is you got to get there. So we're not worried about the intensity of this club. Those guys play with passion. They play with fire. you know, personalities are different on this team than maybe any other team that we've had. Every team changes, but the competition, the desire to win, I can promise you, is there in that clubhouse right now.
J.J. Pecola, Royals General Manager, Vice President of Baseball Operations, joins us every couple weeks here on 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, and we'll check in down the road.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. That was our conversation earlier with J.J. Pecola here on 96.5 The Fan. A couple things. I felt like you could tell there was a switch that flipped when we got to win some freaking games.
Yeah, he won it. Sounded like he wanted to cuss two different times.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted to say freaking games. No, I think he wanted to say, we got to win some games, you know?
They do. They got 43 left. They're four back. At some point, and he acknowledged it, like, they got it hot. They got to get hot. They don't look at it as, like, we got to win 10 of the next 12 or something. As a player, that would drive you nuts. You can't do that.
No, but you won one yesterday. Make it two tonight.
But they recognize, like, 43 sounds like a lot of games, but there's a bunch of teams to jump. Four back. You've got, at some point, you got to rattle off what we mentioned, which is now really 4-1 or 5-0 the rest of this nine-game stretch we talked about in order to give yourself a real shot.
Agreed. Interesting with the Jack stuff, too. We'll keep an eye on that.
The Nationals, I mean, they're not a very good baseball team. If you can get up on them early again tonight, you can bury them. They're done. They're not coming back.
If last night's any indicator, their bullpen stinks.
It's the worst bullpen in baseball.
Oh, okay. Well, then,
ERA-wise.
Last night was a pretty good indicator. Yeah. Keep the game close till the fifth, and you're probably in pretty good shape against the Nationals bullpen.
Yeah, they're number 30 in bullpen ERA, I believe.
Hey, Drew, can I ask you some advice, some golf advice before we get off the air?
Okay, sure.
I have been asked to fill in a golf league tonight. Mm. I have agreed, even though I think that's a dicey situation for me as someone who does not golf very often. I just so happened to golf on Saturday with a friend, and I could not hit an iron like a 6 or 7 or 8 to save my life. You got any tips? I need like a tip or something. Well, I'm trying not to shoot a 70 on 9 holes tonight.
Were you chunking it? Were you shanking it?
Oh, no. Topping everything. Just making zero good contact. I mean, I hit my driver okay, and it was in the fairway. And my short, like, pitching wedge and stuff was okay. But I could not hit a mid-iron to save my life. It was embarrassing. Every par 3, we're trying to put a bad,
playing in
terrible
a golf league today?
Yeah.
What?
Let's go.
Sometimes you got someone fill in, you know? I'll tell you what I shoot. I think I might shoot a 60.
So the over-under that we've been told for 9 holes is a 60.5. I don't think...
No chance.
I think the over-under is a little bit too high. I have more faith in you, Cody. For 9 holes, I think you can break 68 today. 68 for 9 holes is insane.
He's going straight from
He's
not. Okay.
I will not be hitting the range ahead of time.
I just played. And you said it was good?
That's not what I said.
Cody, I
drove the ball well, I hit my wedges well, and I putted okay.
Take your time.
I had two birdie putts in my last round. I missed both.
Take your time.
I did have them.
Keep your head down. And
what I want to really know, though,
pace swing. Don't try to kill it every single time. Have a smooth swing, and you're going to break 60. It's going to be fine.
Are you getting a massage after the show or something? Because I'll peel back the curtain a little bit. I was texted by someone that also is involved in this league that wanted me to give them your contact info to ask you. And
they're going
to
offer you the spot.
I believe
me,
that,
Drew.
Yeah, did they offer you the spot and you said no?
They did offer me the spot. I said if it was tomorrow, I would do it. But today,
are you getting a massage? What are you doing?
I'm not getting a massage or any cupping done today. No.
You could have actually helped this team win. Now I'm just going to drag us all down.
I think you're
going to
be fine, Cody. I think you're going to surprise some people. I have more faith in you than you did in me in the pickleball. And I was fine.
I have no faith
in
myself.
You'll be fine.
I will give you my score tomorrow.
We're going to talk tomorrow. We're back in studio. We're going to find out what Drew actually did tonight as well. This has me very curious. You guys can guess tomorrow. Be ready at 10 o'clock. We're going to find out. Cody, good luck, my man. Good luck. Final show at camp. We're back in studio tomorrow right here on 96.5 The Fan. The Drive is up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.